Blog Talk Radio.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Interview Network. Station.
What's going on, man? This is Yahuwah Side, man. Oh, man. We made it to another Sabbath. We made it to another Shabbat, man. You just have to give the Father Yahuwah praise and thanksgiving, man, that we made it again. We're here again. And we have a jam-packed show. I mean, like, yo, if you got a notepad, get your notepad, get your pen and your paper because you're going to need it because we're going to go fast. It's a lot going on. So let's dive right into it real quick, man. I hope you're out there. I hope you're resting. I hope you got some good sleep last night. And I hope today you just chilling. You ain't do nothing. You just chilling. This your day to do nothing. It's the day of rest. You know what I'm saying? But let's get into it. Let's pray to the Father right now. Father Yahuwah, we thank you once again for another day, another Shabbat, Father, that we just get to just bask in your esteem and just your day, Father, that we can just rest and rejuvenate, recuperate for the next week for what you have for us. We pray that we wouldn't speak our own words, but you would speak through us and to us that we may be filled with your set-apart spirit. In Yahushua HaMashiach name, the Messiah. So be it. Amen. All right. So last week we dived into some issues and, you know, we got it going. And the two biggest news stories going on right now, of course, is what's going on in Jerusalem. So we want to get into that one first. And then we also want to talk about, you know, the comet Elene. But right now, it's a very peculiar situation we have right now because either two ways this thing's going to play out, it's not going to end good. So, of course, in case you don't know, we're going to catch you up to speed. According to news sources, the United Nations is supposed to vote on the statehood of the Palestinians on September 20th. And so, if you don't understand, I was thinking about it earlier. I mean, you got to understand the magnitude of what's playing out here. We're talking about we're close to seeing scriptural prophecy begin to play out in front of our eyes, you know. And so, either way you look at it, if you want to, either way how you want to theorize how the vote will go with the United Nations, it's going to begin something, you know. If the UN votes for Israel, against Israel. Israel, you know, the Jews, they took so long to get that land. They're not going to want to give away that land. So then, also, if the United Nations votes for Israel and against the Palestinians, Israel's neighbors might want to attack Israel. And this happens all on the 20th of this month. And coincidentally, there's no coincidences, but coincidentally, on September 21st, there's supposed to be the International Peace Day. Remember what the scripture says when they claim peace and sudden destruction comes. So just remember that. That verse is very important because it will play a factor in it. And this is some quick facts. I also found an article earlier this week. But I want to read some quick facts. This will be the 66th United Nations General Assembly meeting right here coming up. August and September 2011 marked the 66th anniversary of the end of World War II. 2011 also marks the 63rd year. 63rd year in which the independence of Israel was not Israel. We're not talking about Israel, the real nation, but Israel, the Jewish people who, you know, imposters. Independence of Israel as of May 14th, and as Israel was okay. So we're talking in early, and we're going to talk about now later after I read this article about it's the same. This is to the same day. Around the same time, you know, September 29th is supposed to be to them, I think you pronounce it Rosh Hashanah, the new year for them. But for us, the people who keep, you know, who proclaim the name of Yahuwah and proclaim the Messiah, Yahusha, and keep his commandments, it is Teruah, the set-apart feast day of trumpets. And so what you have going on that night, you have the constellation Virgo, which is the maiden or woman, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. So we're going to dive into that too. But I want to read this article right here so you can understand how close we are with these prophecies being fulfilled and this land being divided and just things begin to unfold right in front of our face. This right here is the BN News. Because what you have right here, I want to give you a backdrop so you can understand it. What they're saying is there's different reports saying that Obama might veto the vote for the Palestinians to become a nation, a state, you know, by themselves. But see, what happened is because, you know, the United States is pretty much still, even though they're falling off the map, they're pretty much still the world power in, you know, votes, and their influence can influence a lot of different things. And so they're saying that, we're just going to read this right here so you can understand. The United States will veto any Palestinian bid to seek a full United Nations membership if it comes before the vote in the United Nations Security Council. The United States Department said on Thursday, although the official statehood request has not yet been submitted to the UN, the Palestinian leadership is expected to do so within weeks. Reports surfaced months ago that the U.S. would veto such a request. No other official confirmation was given until Thursday. We've seen the press further around this, said Victoria Nuland, a spokesman for the U.S. Department, State Department. Frankly, it was surprising to us. It should not come as a shock in this room that the U.S. opposed a move in New York by the Palestinians to try to establish a state could only be achieved through negotiations. So, yes, if something comes to the vote in the UN Security Council, the U.S. will veto. And so later, this article just goes on and just breaks it down that they're saying this report was on Thursday. So, you know, it's pretty, you know, pretty up to date from this week. And they're saying that, I guess they're speaking for Obama because this was a spokesman. And, you know, of course, they're connected all together. But she's saying that Obama and the United Nations will when the vote comes from the Palestinians to become a state. And if you don't, we can break this down even more. So when they become just like the Jews did and they got recognized as a people and had Jerusalem as their capital, so the same things the Palestinians are doing. And what they want to have is they will eventually want to have Jerusalem as their capital. So since the land will be would have one person saying, it's almost like saying, you know, if the Germans came over here, the Russians came over here, they're saying, hey, this is our land too. So now the land is divided because it's two people's land. And so, and we all know how the Palestinians riot and how you see the conflict over there. So they're really expecting, we read the reports last week, they're really expecting, you know, they know it's going to be confrontational, but they're really expecting for this vote to go through. So if it doesn't go through, it's only one or two ways this thing can play out. You either have the United Nations say yes to the Palestinian vote and they get it. That's going to cause problems between the conflict of the United Nations and the peace negotiations between Netanyahu and the top official for the Palestinians. So what does all this mean? What does all this mean? Because it might sound like jargon to you, but what it all means is that we're getting closer to the point of Armageddon. We're getting point up because what we learned a couple weeks ago, we were talking to the brothers, is that everything in this whole world, we can break it down to you like a child can understand, everything in this whole world is planning and preparing for, number one, the son of perdition. The son of perdition. The son of perdition is the fake, false, phony Messiah who will look and portray himself as to be the Messiah. He will also do miracles and call lightning from the sky and do all and walking on water, doing all and healing people and doing all this grand stuff, you know, that the Messiah did. So it will look in a sense that this is the Messiah, you know, and he will come in a point of time that people are needing a savior. Remember Yahushua said that y'all will long for the coming of the son of Adam, but those days wouldn't come. So people are going to be longing to see the Messiah, but yet they will not see him. But a false one will show up. So all the things in the powers and the darkness is preparing for this day. And these people are also preparing, guess what? They're preparing to fight him. All these evil forces, the Jews, the Palestinians, the Russians, all these people, they will come to the valley and they will fight Yahushua. Yahushua is coming to slay, to kill, not to hand out hugs or cupcakes. He's coming to kill. You read Revelations, it says the blood. I think it's 184 miles. There was blood up to the bridles of the horses. I mean, this is a lot of blood. He's coming to destroy in the battle of Armageddon. He's coming to fight, and all these forces and these evil forces are coming to fight him because they know, Hashatan knows, his time is short. So what is he trying to do? He's trying to gather all these people. All these people will be against Yahushua and his people. So all this is connected. So we're going to just have to wait until, you know, September 20th, you know, y'all willing, we get there and see how this plays out, because this is going to be, I guarantee you, this is going to be in history, in the time of history, this is going to be one of the biggest decisions and events that you have ever seen. This is going to be one of the biggest. So we're talking about Comet Elene. And right now we want to get into, you got the scriptures with you, get into Revelations 12 and 1 through 4. We kind of went into it last week, but we really didn't get to dive into the scriptures. And we really want to break it down so you understand the magnitude of what's about to be seen. Revelation 12, 1, this is what it says. It says, and there appeared a great wonder, quote unquote, sign in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon at her feet. And upon her head was crowned 12 stars. And she being with child, travailing in birth, and the pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder sign in the heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew away 1/3 of the stars of the heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which is about to deliver, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Hear that? To devour the child as soon as it was born. So we go and we look at, let's break it down a little further. Let's break it down a little further and see, okay, what does all this mean? Okay, a woman clothed with the sun. Let's go back to verse 1. A woman clothed with the sun. So we look at the constellation of Virgo, and Virgo is known as the young maiden or woman. She will be clothed with the sun behind her back, like a wrap, like a cloth on her back. Okay. And so then you have, in this day, on September 29th, the seventh new moon of the first day, you will have this situation happen. You will have the new moon under her feet, positioned at the feet of the constellation Virgo. You know, I know it gets scary to talk about these things, but what I learned is, okay, now there's a difference between astronomy and astrology. You know, because back in the day they had people who were watchmen who things we don't know about. Yahuwah had people in his company who knew about these you know, our people, our ancestors knew about, you know, how to keep the new moons, how to keep the Sabbath and these things in the heavens. They knew about these things. See, what happened was, is people began to worship these things, to begin to worship the moon, worship the sun, and got drawn away from Yahuwah. That's what he said in Deuteronomy. He said, be careful not to lift up your eyes, you know, and be drawn away to worship these things, you know. But he also says, we go back to Genesis 1 and 14, he said that these things in the heavens, they will be given for signs, appointed times, you know, they will be given for signs. And what do we read in Revelations 12:1? It said, and there appeared a great sign in the heaven. So if there's a great sign in the heaven, we have to be able to observe the great sign in the heaven, right? So the moon is clothed under her feet. And so upon her head of the constellation Virgo, there's 12 stars. And the comet Eline will be coming through it. Now this is wild right here. The days before the comet Eline gets to her head, it is almost on, when you look at the drawing of her face, you know, if you have a chance, want to email me, email us on the way pictures at hotmail.com. I'll send you the link about the video. You can check it out. You can also check it out on, you know, and research it, comment Eline. Okay, the thing about it is so wild is on the maiden's face, on the woman's face, it's almost a tear on her face, which is unprecedented. It says, and she being with child, travailed in birth, in pain, delivered. And the planet, and when you look at it, the planet Venus is in the belly of the maiden, which is in the constellations. Okay, now let's break it down. I mean, I found this out. I really didn't know this, and this is wild. You look at you go into the lexicon. You know, the lexicon is basically a fancy word for a dictionary. You have the Hebrew lexicon, and then you have the Greek lexicon. You look into the lexicon, and you look at Greek 54:59. Greek Strong's Greek 54:59. And you get this word, trying to pronounce this, phosphorus, phosphorus. Now check this out. This is the word that they use for quote unquote Venus or that word there, which is the male child symbol in the constellation Virgo's stomach. Now check this out. This is what it says. It says, this is the definition of it. It says, light bringing, giving light, quote unquote, the planet Venus, the morning star, the Messiah. Now we know in Revelations, now a lot of people have different theories on this. We know in Revelations that, of course, Hasatan tries to imitate, but Yahusha also says that he is the bright and morning star, you know. And but, you know, Hasatan also tries to, you know, flip that and do things like this. But we look at we look at the Greek, and it says that this planet right here, the planet Venus, the morning star, you know, blase, blase. Okay. So when we go back to Revelation 12, stay with me here. This is what it said. It said that it was another sign of heaven. Behold, a red dragon with seven heads and ten horns was there, ready to devour the child. Now, we're going to break this down. It's going to all come together. It's going to all come together when you look at it. Okay, now check this. The planet that is ready to devour Venus is what? In the constellation is Saturn. You look at Saturn. Saturn is comparable to the word Satan or Hashatan. And you look at the Chaldean. You break Saturn down, you look at the Chaldean, it's pronounced Sator. And the Chaldean scholars knew that it consisted of four letters, star, S-T-U-R. Now check this. This is going to blow your mind right here. The word, the numerical value of S is 60. The numerical value of T, and this is according to the Chaldean, this is 400. The U is 6, and the R is 200. You add that up and you get 666. So you're saying that the word that came from the Saturn, the star, it means 666, the mark of the beast. Now check this out. What does this all mean? So let's go back and read it again. It says that there appeared a great sign in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon the heaven 12 stars. And she being with child travailed and gave birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared a great sign in the heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. And he drew one third of the stars from heaven and he cast them to the earth and stood before the woman which was about to deliver to devour the child which had, as it was born. So what is this symbolically? This was symbolically, okay, you remember the child is also Yahushua, who was about to be born. We just read from the Greek about how that planet kind of, you know, Yahuwah fixed it so it kind of symbolized. But what happened? You remember when Yahushua was about to be born, how Herod went out and killed all the babies? He stood before the woman and tried to devour her. Okay. He stood before. Now, do you understand the same thing will happen to his people? Okay, now Yahushua lives in us. But what's happening is when this sign is seen in the heavens, this is almost, and it's on the Feast of Trumpets, the blowing of the shofar. It is a warning that Hashatan is about to try to persecute the woman, persecute Yahuwah's people, persecute the remnant. He is about to stand there and get ready to persecute them. Because remember what Yahushua said? He said that you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You know, we're not talking about the name Jesus. We talked about that. We're not talking about that name. We're not talking about Yeshua. We're talking about the name Yahushua. You're going to be hated because of the name Yahushua, the only name under heaven which man can be saved by. That's the name you're going to be hated by. You know what I'm saying? So this is symbolically, but it's also symbolically saying that, hey, the manifestations of the child of Elohim are about to be manifested. And when they are manifested, please believe that Hashatan will try to destroy that. Okay, when word got out about Yahushua, you know, when word got out about Yahushua, you know, they tried to, they were, what did Hashatan try to do? He tried to kill him. He tried to kill that seed. And later we read in Revelation 12 that it says that the remnant, which I believe the 144,000, the woman, he will try to persecute it, but she will be given two wings of a great eagle and to go into the wilderness. So he will not be able to touch. So those people right there, those people out there listening, you seal with the name of Yahuwah and Yahushua and you keep his commandments, you are sealed. He said, pray that you are worthy to escape those things which are on the fall of the earth. So pray. Let's continue to pray, continue to be steadfast that we may escape these things, that we may, as the dragon tries to come and persecute us, that we may be given two wings of an eagle to go into the wilderness Well, we have a place prepared for us in which the dragon cannot touch us. Just like you remember in Exodus where they had the deaf Moloch, quote unquote, angel come through, and they had the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, and he did not, every house that had that, he passed over. So in this time, every person who which the seal is put upon of Yahuwah and Yahusha, the dragon cannot touch. You are covered in his blood. But there are also some people, we know that there's a great multitude coming out of the tribulation in which will be persecuted. How do we know this? Let's go. We're not going to get too much into it because we're going to save this for another time. But guess what? We'll read this real quick. So you have the 144,000 who are sealed by the blood of the Lamb, not able to be touched, who go into the wilderness. But then you have another, also a group of people. These are people right here. It says, right here we read Revelations 12 and 14. It says, and the woman was given two wings of a great eagle to fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for times and times and times and a half. That's 3.5 years. From the presence of the serpent. And out of his mouth the serpent spewed forth water like a river after the woman to cause her to be swept away by the river. And the earth helped the woman out, and the earth opened his mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to fight the remnant of her seed. You get that? He couldn't get to the woman. He tried to get to her, but wherever she is, he couldn't get to her. Just like the same thing. That blood was over. That's why he couldn't get to her, because the blood was over. The blood was over that set-apart remnant in which Yahuwah had delivered from the earth. These are the 144,000 who keep their, they are blameless. They are blameless. But the remnant of her seed is who he's going to go to war with. The great tribulation. So there are people right now. That's why it's so important, you know the truth, to spread the Besorah. Because there are some people that you might plant a seed with who may not get it right now. But guess what? That doesn't mean they're not going to be saved. It just may mean that their time is not now. They may have to suffer. They may have to go through the tribulation. But your mission is to preach the Besorah, the good news, to everybody, to every time you have a chance, to tell people about what Yahusha has done, telling people about the deception, and telling people, hey, you know, whether they receive it or not, you planted a seed, and you never know. Somebody told me one time, you can never know, you can never judge what's going on underground, above ground. You don't know how, you don't know what that seed has done. You don't know how that seed is being activated. You don't know if somebody's going to come and later water it, and then it starts to sprout. You never know. So don't get discouraged. Continue to spread, because it's good news whether or not anybody hears it. If everybody ever rejected it, every person you said about, talk to them about Yahusha, about the name, and they rejected it, yo, it's still great news. So right there, you have the signs being in the heavens. You know, and I want you to know right now, you are still listening to the Poetic Energy Network. I'm Yahuwah Side, and this is The Way. All right. Yo, we back. Okay. Now, look, we just talked about that. Now, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. You look at the planets, how that Saturn was there and ready to devour her. So you have the manifestations of the sons of Elohim about to be fulfilled. The sign is going to be in the heavens. I encourage you, you know, I'm going to have some more information in the coming weeks about how we can actually witness this, you know, whether there's a program or whether, you know, you can find a planetarium or something where you can see this prophecy. Because, I mean, this is unprecedented. We have never seen these kind of things happen in our life. So, you know, this thing is a confirmation. This is not coincidence that the man child. I also want to read a prophecy to you. If you have your scriptures, go to Yeshayahu. That's Isaiah
66. When you go to Isaiah 66, you look and you say, this is another prophecy right here. This is prophesied and connecting to Revelation 12. This is what it said. Yes, Yahoo 66, it says in verse 5, it says, hear the word of Yahuwah, you who tremble at his word, your brothers who hate you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, let Yahuwah be esteemed, so that they may see your, so we may see your joy. But they will be put to shame. A roaring sound from the city, a voice from the echo or temple, the voice of Yahuwah repaying his enemies. Look, this is the prophecy right here. It says, before she labored, she gave birth. Before a pain came to her, she delivered a male child. Who has heard the likes of this? Who has seen the likes of this? Is a nation brought forth in one day? A nation at once, it says, a nation born at once? For as soon as Zion was labored, she gave birth to her sons, her children. Shall I bring to birth and not give delivery, says Yahuwah? Shall I who give delivery restrain birth, says your Elohim? So Yahuwah is saying, hey, Yisrael, you will be a nation again. And this symbol, this blowing of the shofar in the heavens is a symbolic message that, hey, the fig tree, the parable of the fig tree, Yahusha told us to learn. He says when the nation of Yisrael come forth, they will come forth and they will be as numerous. He didn't lie. When he told Abraham that your descendants will be as numerous as the sands of the sea, this will happen. What happens in the Great Tribulation? There are a number that no man can number. His word is fulfilled. His word will be fulfilled. And this is symbolic that, hey, the nation is fin to be born. Will he bring us to this point and not restore us as a people? I hate to bring the news to you, but 1948, you did not feel fulfilled. Jews, you did not fulfill this prophecy. When you got recognized as a state, you did not fulfill this prophecy. This is a lie. This is a lie from the pits of Gehenna. You have not fulfilled the prophecy. Number one, you're not the people. You are anti-Semitic because if you don't proclaim the name of Yahuwah and proclaim the name of Yahusha, you are not his, and you don't keep his commandments. You are not his. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. So this is what we want to show you, that, hey, the nation of Yisrael, you're finna be back. You're finna, it's going to be, you know, for some people, it's going to be tough times, you know. But, hey, the king, Yahusha the Messiah, is about to come. You know, we're embarking on, we may even be in the generation where we, you know, Shaul talked about, he said, I'll show you a mystery, and we shall not all sleep, but in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall see him. We shall be like him. So we could be possibly in this generation where we witness Yahusha. I mean, there is no greater thing to live for but to see him as he is, coming on the clouds with the Malachs, ready to fight and do battle. I mean, this is amazing. We could be possibly in there, but we're gonna see. We're gonna keep you posted on this prophecy in the heavens soon to come. But right now, you still listen to the Poetic Energy Network station. I am Yahuwah Side, and this is still the way. Now, we want to take it back. We want to take it back a little bit. We want to take it back. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now, we want to rewind a little bit. This is the rewind session. Now, check this. Okay, you have coming up tomorrow. You got the September, the anniversary of September 11th. Okay, you know, our heart goes out to those people who lost people on September 11th. Our heart goes out to that for families who've lost people, who have loved ones, husbands, children, kids, you know, our hearts go out to you because, you know, this should not happen, you know, and it's a tragic instance that things like this have happened. But we want to rewind it right here. We want to okay. Now, man, this is gonna. If you're not ready, this is gonna pull your wig back right here. Okay. Now we don't have that much time, so we're gonna have to get into it real quick. I didn't know time was flying like this, but we got to get into it. But we're gonna have to. This is what I found out. The Twin Towers. What did the Twin Towers signify? Why were they knocked down? Okay. I'm going to read a couple quotes. It says, since the dawn of civilization, the entrance of the scarred and mystery places have been guarded by two pillars. Whether in art or agriculture, the twin pillars are archetype symbols representing the importance gateway in the passage toward the unknown. In Freemasonry, the pillars are named Joachim and Boaz, representing the brotherhood, most recognizable symbol, prominent, featuring Masonic art, documents, and buildings. So we're talking about these two pillars. You know, they say, they use the scriptures and they say that they were named Joachim and Boaz. These two pillars were a symbol of a gateway. Because you remember in Solomon's temple, there were two pillars outside into the Kodesh place, or some people would say, you know, the pagan word holy. Okay. It says a gateway. A symbol of twin pillars have, since a time of immemorial, guarded the gateways up to the Kodesh place in mystery realms. Okay? So you look at this. Also look at Plato's account. Plato said, hey, it says account the lost realm of the Atlantics. It says was situated beyond the pillars of Hercules. You know what I'm saying? And they were pillars of the unknown, of the beyond. And the Masons, they used the Joachim and Boaz. So these people twisted what Yahuwah did, the pillars, and they make some kind of philosophical thing they make up. And, you know, and so what happens is now you have two pillars, the portals into the mysteries. This is what the Freemasons, you look at the Freemasons' symbolic symbols, and what do they have? They have the two pillars there. So the two pillars signified this, and they were knocked down September 11th. So what do you 2001? So what do you make of this? What do you make of this? What does this all mean? Okay, do you remember? Let's take it back. Let's take it back and let's compare it. Do you remember that the Solomon's Temple was destroyed by Titus, 70 AD, right? 70 AD was destroyed. Okay. Twin Towers destroyed. I want you to see this. Okay. Now they're talking about, guess what they're saying that the new, in place of the Twin Towers, guess what the new place is going to be called? It's going to be called One World Trade Center. Did you catch that? One World Trade Center. Okay, now take this. Let's go to the other side. The Solomon's Temple was destroyed, 70 AD, the second temple. Huh. Now they're talking about building a third temple in which it will be situated where there will be Jews, Muslims, and Christians together. One world religion. I don't know if you see it, but it's a connection that, hey, they are symbolically planning. Why would you call it the one world? One, look at the words. One world. One world. Trade center. One, for a one world religion. This thing is all connected. If we want to show you that, hey, that's some food for thought. I want you to get it. That's the rewind session. We're going to keep it moving on. You know what I'm saying? But I want you to think about that. I want you to think. Why would they call it this? I mean, because this is something that you have to look into. You are still listening to the Poetic Energy Network. I'm Yahuwahside, and this is still the way.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
All right, we back. Okay, this is the red or blue pill section. Guess what we want to talk about? Guess what the topic is today? We're talking about love versus hate. We're going to have to dive into it. If you got your scriptures, you're going to have to flip fast now because we got some time. We're running down. We also got, we might have a little special treat for you. I'm going to see. We might have a little special treat for you, a song that we might have at the end, but we're going to see. Okay. Now, we got love versus hate. The world has taught us to hate. You grow up, you learn how to hate. But what is love? What is actually love according to the scriptures? So we look at John. Let's go to John 15. When you go to John 15 and you read, This is what Yahushua, our master, this is what he says. This is what he says. We're going to start at verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Stay in my love. He says, now watch what he says. If you guard my commands, you shall stay in my love. Even as I have guarded my Father's commands and stay in his love. These words I have spoken to you that my joy may be complete in you, and that your joy might be complete. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, I love this verse right here. He says, no one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. This is what he said. Look, you are my friends if you do whatever I command. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all the teaching I have heard from my Father, I have made it known to you. This is what he says. Then verse 17 says, these are the words I command you, that you should love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me. It says it hated me before it hated you. I mean, these are powerful words. You got to know that, hey, people about to hate you. You got to know this. But guess what? This is what he says. Look, verse 25, he says that the words might be fulfilled that was written in the Torah. They hated me without cause. They hated Yahushua just because they just hated his guts. You ever met somebody like that? They hate your guts, man. They don't even know you. They just look at you and just be like, man, they just hate your guts because they just hate you. For no cause. For no reason. He ain't did nothing to them. They just hate you. You know what I'm saying? But that's how the world has created it. You look at, we're going to keep it moving. Yahuwah 14, verse 23, it says, look, this is what he says. He says, if anyone loves me, he shall guard my words, and my Father shall love him, and we shall come and make our stay with him. Do you see that? He says, if you love him, you will do this. So you see, love is an action word. He says, he who does not love me does not guard my words. And my word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So if you, it's either one of two things. Either you take the red pill and you love, which is action, and you do his commands, or you hate him and you don't do his commands. People don't look at it like that. They say, oh, well, you know, you don't want to keep the Sabbath, so you hate, you in a sense, hate him because you don't keep his word. He said, look, and I'm going to prove it to you. He says again, let's go to the epistle of John, 1 John, the epistle, or Yehuchanan, as you would call it. Let's look at it. First Yehuchanan, let's go there. Let's flip to First Yehuchanan. So he says, if you can't fake it. You can't fake it. You can't say, yes, I love him, but then you do this. Let's go to 1 Yehuchanan 4, chapter 4, and verse 8. That's what it says. The one who does not love does not know Elohim, for Elohim is love. By this, the love of Elohim was manifested in us, that Elohim has sent his only brought forth son into the world in order that he might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved Elohim, but that he loved us and sent his son as atonement for offerings. So do you see that? Look, okay, we're going to keep reading. It says, we're going to skip, okay. Beloved, if anyone so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen Elohim at any time, and if we love one another, Elohim does stay in us, and his love is perfected in us. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, nobody has ever seen Elohim. Nobody has ever seen Yahuwah. They might have seen the presence of Yahuwah, who is Yahushua, but they never seen Yahuwah. So if you say that you love your brothers, but yet you talk about them, you backbite, you do all these things that don't show your love, you know, hey, I don't know how much you love. Let's flip it again. Let's go to 1 Yehuchanan or John, 1 Yehuchanan 3. Let's just flip forward. And that's what it says right here. So we look at this and we say, 1 Yehuchanan chapter 3, verse 13, he says, do not marvel, my brothers, if the world hates you. It's knowing that you have passed out of death into life, because we love the brothers, that no one loving his brother stays in death. Everyone hating his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has everlasting life staying in him. So you hear that? You got a lot of serial killers out there, man. You got a lot of serial killers that ain't shot no guns, man. You got a lot of serial killers that ain't sold no crack. But guess what? They hating their brothers, yo. And that right there, you are a murderer. It's not about, because remember, Yahushua flipped it. He said, anyone angry at his brother committed murder. You ain't got to pick up no gun. You know, but if you are murdering in your heart, you have murdered them already. So you're just as guilty. You understand that you're just as guilty as a person who shot somebody point blank rage if you murdered them in your heart. That's profound. So he's saying, hey, don't even try it. Look, this is what he said. He says, by this we know that we have love, because we lay down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for our brothers, for the brothers. But whoever has world goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his tender affection with him, he does not say, how does the love of Elohim stay with him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. So let's love in deed and truth. So let's love in deed and truth. That means let's walk it out. Let's walk it out. We really love somebody, let's walk it out. Let's say, hey, I love you. So I'm going to take, when you lay down your life for somebody, you don't have to physically lay down your life, or I'm going to die for you. But you would do anything it takes, anything they need, anything you can get them. If you had it, you would do it for them, because you lay down your life. That means taking time out your day to go talk to somebody that needs a friend. You know, taking time out your day to do something and saying, hey, just like Yahushua said, who was the one who loved his neighbor? You know, the one guy walked by You know, even the priest, he walked by and didn't say nothing, didn't even like, yeah, whatever. But the one guy who stopped and said, hey, he might have somewhere to be. He was like, nah, I'm going to stop and help this person because he needs help. You know, I'm not going to wait for somebody else to help him. I'm going to help. And so that's love. That's love. That's what. And then we're going to read some couple of verses. I had a couple of verses. First Yohanan, or John 5 and 3. It says, this is the love for Elohim, to obey his commands, and his commandments are not burdens. So you either do one or two things. You either love him. He said, if you love me, that always stuck with me. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You have the Ten Commandments. You have the commandments in the Torah. You also have the commandments that he speaks to you every day if you can hear his voice. That's what he says right here. First Yohanan 4 and 20. He says, if a man says, I love Elohim and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love Elohim whom he hath not seen? So how can you see your brother every day, but yet you hate him? But how can you say you love him? That just don't work. This is what Proverbs 8:36 says. He says, but he who sins against me injures himself, and all those who hate me hate them. So if you hate the commandments, you believe in the Christian lie that the commandments are done away with, you don't want to keep the Sabbath, you don't want to honor his name, you want to commit adultery, you want to fornicate, you want to do all these things, you hate him. That's what he said, and that's what he says, Proverbs 5 and 12. He says, but you say, but how I hated discipline, how my heart spurred correction. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction is stupid. That's one version. That's what one version says. He said, look, Deuteronomy 7:10, Debarim 7:10, it says, but he repays those who hate him to their face. You know how you got some people, they want to hate you. They want to hate on your back. They want to throw salt on your back. You know what I'm saying? Throw salt on your back. But look, Yahuwah said, hey, he said, he gonna repay you. You hate him, he gonna repay you to your face. He gonna come up. You wanna be a man and try him, he gonna repay you to your face to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates him, but he will repay him to his face. He said it twice. He said he will repay you to your face if you hate him. How do you hate him? You hate him if you don't keep his commands. Simple. You know what I'm saying? It's simple. So You have the red pill, loving Yahuwah, keeping his commandments, continue to be steadfast, loving your brother, laying down your life for the brother. He said, no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So lay down your life for the brothers. I'm talking about those who keep the commandments of Yahusha and honor the name of the Father, Yahuwah, and keep his commandments. Because not everybody is your brother, and we know that. We're not talking about that lovey-dovey Christian love. Not everybody is your brother. What Yahusha say? He said, who are my mother, brother, and sisters? Those who do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? What is the will of the Father? We read 1 Yohanan 3 and 23. He says, this is his command, that we should believe in his son, Yahusha, Messiah, and love one another as he has commanded. So that is the way to believe upon Yahusha. Because in him we have eternal life. We will live forever. And love our brothers. That means lay down your life for our brothers and your neighbors. And when you have an opportunity for those people that don't know Yahusha, show them love. Show them something that they can be like. Because it's not always about what you say. You can speak. You can have knowledge. You can say all the right things, but hey, they look at what you doing. What are you doing? Are you really helping people? Are you really caring for the orphans and the widows? Do you really have what he's saying, or is it just talk? Will you really lay down your life for somebody, or is it just talk? Brothers, love not in just speech, but in deed and truth. So that's right there. That's the red or blue pill, and you gotta figure out, hey, which one do I want to do? Because you can't do both. Now, you still listen to the Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Saad, and this is Still the Way. Now we got about a couple minutes left. Now I want to go ahead and jam something. Actually, we can still extend it a little bit, but I want to go ahead and jam something, get a little pause in there. You know, I want to play something for one of my brothers. Nice song right here. It's called The Purpose. And if he's listening today, Shamar, big shout out. You want to play the little song, conscious song, you know what I'm saying? Because people out there, they still in the falsehood of Jay-Z, you know, Nas, all that falsehood. So you're trying to get them to come to the Father. So we want to play a little song, get it going. This is The Purpose. Shamar, we're going to be right back. I get at you.
Get up, yeah, get up, yeah, yeah. Yo, it's all about repetition, conditioning my mind on this road. I see signs on your behalf, I petition the road to perdition. Where does it lead? If you was able to see, well, then you wouldn't have strayed. Purposeless day at day, asking who is gonna pave the way. Then I come through with the semen and save the day, knowing that it was the semen that gave them life. And because they betrayed him, they betrayed their wives. It's a high though, accepted a high. What's in the past will come to pass. Catch it in stride, and that's better that way. Though it's a tough pill to swallow. Forgive and be fulfilled, otherwise your heart hollow. Can't expect to lead if you never knew a leader. An asymmetrical world, more followers than teachers. If you charted out the majority of the pizza, he's the man who gives the credit to master with no visa. Look at the walls, idle minds create alleys. Slowly bury yourself so the culprit is not Halley. Could have worked it out when you should have just called Bally's. Life is a game of checkers, sometimes you get rallies, and that's the first of success.
Yeah.
But every team has a run out, every player will stretch down the stretch. Momentum shift, pendulum in the pit. This night and this day, it just depends on the orbit. Sort of an odd couple, like Rescue and Orbit. A precedent in the law of attraction between opposites. Only one can win, the rest are incompetent. Bunch of craps in a barrel trying to get atop the Forbes list. Number two, got a chip on the shoulder. Number three, a step on number two shoulders to get more chips. Soon the last become first, it's metamorphic. They paid for the top just so the bottom could afford it.
Yo, we back. Okay, man, it was an awesome show. We still got to get some plugs. We still got some more meat for y'all, but we're gonna have to cut it short today. But guess what? We're gonna be back, man. If Yahuwah wills that we make it to another Shabbat, I'm telling you, it's gonna be bananas. We got some more fire for you coming. We got some. I don't know if you ever heard the Dada Key, but we got some stuff coming from that. Some fire coming from that. You know what I'm saying? Some scriptures they try to take out of the canon they voted on. They ain't even want it in there because it just go too hard. We also have some scriptures later talking about the divine protection of Yahuwah. And then we also got a little bit. But we're going to try to get this quick fact in the day. I know a lot of people, this is the quick fact of the day. I know a lot of people, you'd be using the word holy, but what does that word mean? The word holy, pronounced holy. It says in the Hebrew, it means sick or diseased. That's what it means. Holy, from the Indo-European root word, is a good omen found in the divination. It says an act of forbidden by the scriptures. It says also comes from the sun, Helio Nubius. It says which surrounds the head of the sun, G-O-D, or God, and persons apart from the sun god. It says in iconic images. So this word, you don't want to use this word. This word has connections to things you don't want to get to. But guess what? You are listening to The Way, Poetic Energy Network. I'm Yahuwah Saad. It's been a joy and a pleasure. I hope Yahuwah blesses you, and may his face shine upon you today, and may it keep you and guard you. Hallelujah.
not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way, Poetic Energy Network. Stations.